Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For us as a team and organization to play on that day and, you know, have the opportunity is really cool. It's, you know, a neat deal. So I'm definitely going to have fun with it and go out there and try to get a W.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint in the Show, not in today. Instead, it's Adam Spillane and former NFL wide receiver Cecil Shorts with you until 6 o'clock. Hope everyone is having a great start to their Thanksgiving weekend. Tyler Milner is producing. We've got a great show coming up for you today. Paul Sharchian will talk fantasy football with us coming up at 3:35. We will have instant reaction to Christian Wood's introductory press conference with the Rockets. That'll be with Brandon Scott, probably right before we hear from Paul Sharchian. But first, we're going to get into Texans-Lions. And Cecil, you have a Texans team entering tomorrow's game at 3-7. Football Outsider says they have a 0.4% chance to make the postseason. Athletes, though, are wired a little bit differently. If you are in that Texans locker room, are you feeling like we're the 0.4%? Like, we can go on a run right now and really make something out of this season.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, I was always that guy. If there's any type of percent left, if it's 0.11000111, like we still got a shot. And the more we win, the more we come together, we can figure this out. But if I'm in that locker room now, and after we played the game we played last week, and understanding how well Deshaun is playing over this season as a whole, it's like, yo, we still have a shot. And this, if any year you got a shot, this is the year, because they added an extra team in the playoffs this year. So it's seven teams on both sides. It's like, hey, if we can just figure out a way to, and it's tough sledding, right? Because you got the Colts twice coming up. You got Tennessee again. I think the Bears are beatable, right? I think who else do they have left?
Detroit, obviously.
Tomorrow. Detroit, that's obviously, tomorrow. Winnable. So you see, there's games you can win, but you're gonna have to really muster up some real real luck or whatever you want to call it to beat the Colts twice. But no, for sure, when you're in that locker room, you're thinking, listen, week to week, game to game, you got a shot no matter what, because we're all in the league for a reason.
Yeah, you know, like I said, athletes are always wired a little bit differently.
Yeah,
and I've been around teams in baseball playoffs, basketball playoffs. They're down 0-3 in a series, and teams that fall behind 0-3 in a series like that, only one baseball team's ever done it. That was the Red Sox. Only, and no NBA team has ever come back from 0-3. But every team that falls behind 0-3 believes they have a chance to come back, even though nobody's done it. So if you're the Texans, in a sense a little bit easier, because when you're down 0-3 in a playoff series, you only have to win the four games, but it's against the same team each and every time.
Yep.
When you're in this situation, you're playing against different teams each and every time. And so to me, you know, let's say they have to win these last six games. I think it's almost easier to win six straight games in the regular season against different opponents as opposed to winning four straight in a playoff scenario against the same team.
You definitely have to take it one game at a time. And I think I would look at it opposite. I think it would be easier to go against the same team four times just because I know what to expect. I know how they play. I know exactly what's going on. We're preparing for them. It's going to be minor situations where, or not minor situations, but it'll be situations where, okay, we'll make adjustments. They'll make adjustments. We'll go back and forth. But to play, for example, you got the Lions this week, and you probably got the Colts, and you got the Bears, and you got the Colts again. Like, it's different schemes, different ways guys are coaching, different ways they're going to attack you. Whereas it's just one team, and you know the players they have, you know the coach they have. So for me, I think that might be a little easier from my standpoint than going six games with six different coaches, or I guess six. We have Texas has six final games, so it's four different coaches. But either or, it's still tough, man. It's still tough.
Here are the last six games. Obviously, the Lions tomorrow, very winnable. Colts at home the next week, winnable. I mean, obviously, it's a very tough game, but it's winnable. At Chicago.
Whoa, we go back. Colts are winnable, you think?
Yes.
Why? Talk to me. Because they are 7-3.
They are 7-3, but you have a very old quarterback in Phillip Rivers.
Phillip is old.
Who is very capable of throwing up a really bad game.
Oh, he will give you a chance.
So that's the reason right there. He's going to give you a chance, and I almost feel like in that game you have a big advantage at the quarterback position. And if you have the big advantage at the quarterback position, you have a chance to win every single time.
Mm, I like that.
So you have the Colts here at Chicago. That's not an easy game because it's a very good defense, but it's a pretty lousy offense.
That's winnable,
That's winnable. Colts on the road, tough game. Tough game. You get them at their place.
Tough place to win.
Yeah. The Texans have had all sorts of trouble winning there in the past. Bengals here, very winnable.
Yep.
Against Ryan Finley or whoever the quarterback is then. And then you close out with the Titans. That's a tough game. Again, it would not be easy. 0.4% is 0.4%.
Yeah, but the Titans game might be a situation where didn't we treat the Titans game last year? The Texans treated last year. They didn't play their starters. Mm-hmm. So it could be the opposite way in that case where you might be able to, you know, if you win, you're in type thing for the Texans side. But, man, you have to go to the Indianapolis to win. That is tough, brother.
But it's, again, they are in a position where it's going to be tough. But
it is.
But like you said, they aren't packing it up for the season until somebody says there is 0.0%. So 0.4, 0.1, 4%, there is still belief in that locker room that they can make something out of the season.
And anytime you got number four back there, not number four, number four, because that he's something different. The way he's playing right now, you have a shot, a legit shot in every single game. Like, he's going to keep you close. It doesn't matter what you can do to help him.
I always feel like I say this to you every time I see you, but you were part of some bad teams.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, but you were a part of a team here with the Texans that you started 1-4, and then you got to 2-5 after a terrible loss in Miami.
That was embarrassing.
But that team made the playoffs.
And Arian got hurt, I think.
Yeah.
He tore his Achilles, I want to say.
That team, though, was still able to make something out of that season, and it made the playoffs. Now, I imagine at 2-5, and you still have 9 games left, the chances were better than 0.4%. But at 2-5, what is the mindset at that point of the season?
We got to fight. And I think at that point in time in 2015, it was week 8. We were getting ready to play the Cincinnati Bengals Monday night at their place. And at that time, they were like 7-0 or 8-0 or whatever they were. They weren't the hottest teams in the NFL. So for our mindset was we thought we were better than what we put on the field. We thought our product was better than what we played like, right? So we're like, listen, we got to figure this out. Let's continue to fight, continue to do the small things. And to be fair, I know Billy O gets a lot of criticism right now, but he did a great job in 2015 of believing in us, rallying us up, and having us fight, and really believing in what he was telling us. And we went out there, and we ended up winning that game in Cincinnati on Monday night. I think Hopkins had a huge catch, one-handed catch to win the game on the left side of the end zone and on a jump ball. And from that right there, like, gave us the momentum, kind of propelled us for the rest of the year. Like, listen, we know we can play. We just beat this undefeated team. Let's go out there and ball. And we end up coming together as a crew and finishing pretty strong.
So that team, you lose in Miami, and then you play Tennessee the next week. And you win that game. Then you had the bye week. Then Cincinnati. So after you beat Tennessee, are you feeling good about yourselves? Or did you kind of need that bye week to unwind a little bit? And was it all about the Cincinnati game the next week?
We needed that bye week because even though we won at Tennessee, we were still in a situation where I think we were 3-5 or whatever it were, 2-5, whatever it was. And we were like, listen, we got to come together some type of way. You know what I mean? I think we had some good leaders on the team. Of course, there's a younger JJ, but we had Vince Wilfork. We had Jonathan Joseph. We had Nate Washington. So we had some older guys that have been around that have won championships. I mean, Nate won a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh and been on some good Tennessee teams. And, of course, Vince, he's been around with the Patriots forever, right? So when those guys speak, you listen. So we had some really good leaders that led the way, like, hey, this bye week, take care of your bodies, be with your families, but come back ready to work, and we're going to fight our butt off. And we had a really good week of preparation, to be honest, and we were ready to go, man.
you kind of have a similar situation. Obviously, you're 2-7, but you beat New England. That's a great win. You have to come back quick on a short week to play Detroit. And then it's not a bye week, but it's kind of a mini bye week
that you have.
So if you can get this win tomorrow, now all of a sudden you're 4-7, and your playoff chances probably don't go up by much. They might go to 1% or something like that. But you have the two wins. You have a little bit of a break. How much can that really buoy you forward for those last five games?
It's big, and I hate to go back, right? I hate to go back, but if you go back to the Cleveland game 2 weeks ago, if you figure out a way to win that game and then you beat New England and you beat the Lions tomorrow, what are you, 5-6? Going into this 10-day stretch where you don't play? Oh, man. But even though now, say you win tomorrow, which they should. I do believe they should win tomorrow against a hurting Matthew Stafford and those guys. And then Kenny Golladay, even though I did pick him up in fantasy this week. But that's a conversation we'll save for later in the show. But I do think you still have a shot. It's just week by week, right? And I think that 10-day layoff after this week game is good to get healthy, get your mind right for the run that you're about to make, right? So the next five games after tomorrow is like, okay, let's get focused in one game at a time.
Is looking back the worst thing you can do? Like, the Texans could have won that game in Pittsburgh. The Texans could have won that game in Cleveland. When you look back at those games and kind of almost like you're having regrets about those games, can that hurt you moving forward?
I think from a player standpoint, you don't need to look back. You just need to focus on the next opponent ahead. Now, from a coaching standpoint, look at what you guys did wrong and try to correct them within the play calling, within the scheme, within the whatever you do throughout that week, right? I think that's a job as a coach. Look back what we did well, what we didn't do well, okay, let's improve on those areas and move forward. But as a player, you can't focus on, dang, I should have caught that pass, or dang, we didn't play. No, you got to focus on the Lions. Get that win. Cool. Bye week comes. Start preparing for the Colts. Watch them play on Sunday against the Titans this week, and then start preparing physically when you come in for practice or whatever. But you can't focus as a player on the pass all the time. You got to really focus on that next opponent ahead and learn from the mistakes and just keep it moving. Keep it moving.
You played on Thanksgiving, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't play on Thanksgiving. That's one of the things I wish I would have been able to do. Didn't play on Thanksgiving. Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night.
London?
London, New Year's Day, Christmas Eve, but never Thanksgiving.
Is everyone in the league watching?
Oh, absolutely.
These games? It's only two games now because the Steelers-Ravens game got moved back to Sunday, but is everyone across the league watching these two games?
Oh, man, every team I've been a part of, sometimes we get together. Like, for me, I was the type of guy that always had a family in the NFL, so rookies or younger guys or guys that came in late through free agency, whatever the case may be, I will always invite them over to the house. Like, hey, come on over, wife's cooking. My mother's in town, she's cooking. My mother-in-law's in town, they're cooking. Come enjoy, you know, with Bees, Miles, and family. So we always were watching the game. Guys are always paying attention to what's going on because, I mean, most guys enjoy the sport of football. And then, to be honest, Thanksgiving goes with football. Like, you expect to watch that while you're eating your dinner or sweet potato pie or putting up your ornaments or whatever you do on that day. It's just a part of, to me, it's a part of Thanksgiving. Football just comes with it.
So you have Texans-Lions. That's 11:30 tomorrow. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Second game of the day is Cowboys and Washington football team from Dallas. And then you've got, well, you were supposed to have Steelers and Ravens. That's going to get pushed back to Sunday. And it's funny, we were in here back in July, and John McClain ran through the checklist of all the things that had to happen for there to be a season. The fact that the NFL has been able to get through the season the way that they have, and you really haven't had any schedule interruptions in really, it seems like, months. You have to give the NFL some credit for being able to plow through this thing.
They've been doing a really, really good job. I think, actually, the one time we had to play on a Tuesday night, I think it was Buffalo versus somebody. It was cool,
Tennessee.
Though. It was so
cool.
Yeah,
it was fun to have that.
You had a Sunday night game, a Monday night game, a Tuesday, like, mid, that wasn't midday, but evening game. Mm-hmm. And then you had a Thursday game. I'm like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. I don't know if the players liked it, but it was the coolest thing ever. So they're doing the best they can. It's tough because you have so many players, so many coaches, so many people that set up the field. There's so much that goes into a football game. They're doing the best they can. I think they're doing an outstanding job.
All right, we're going to come back to Texans-Lions a little bit later in the show. But when we return, regardless of how the Texans season ends, the Texans are most likely going to need a new head coach for next season. Will the new head coach be taking over a better situation than what Bill O'Brien took over 7 years ago? We'll look into that next on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Sports Radio 610, Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Clint in the show. We're here until 6 o'clock. Rockets will introduce Christian Wood at the top of the hour. We'll have instant reaction from Brandon Scott from that. But I want to get to the Texans and their pursuit of a new head coach. And would you say that when Bill O'Brien took over as Texans head coach 7 years ago, that he took over a good situation, even though the team was 2-14?
Yes. Looking at the roster, and you just broke it down to me, and, you know, you kind of plugged it before the show. You teased it before we got into the segment. But, yeah, number one overall pick, which ended up being Jadeveon Clowney. On the defensive side of the ball, you have guys like J.J. Watt. You have guys like Daniel Manning, Merciless, who was young. I think J.J. was really coming into his own at this point. You got Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Joseph. You got a lot of guys that have a name for themselves, are making a name for themselves, are playing well. Andre Howell was younger then. He's doing all right. Then on the offense side of the ball, you got Arian. You got Dwayne Brown. You got Trade. You got Hop. You got Ryan Griffin and those guys. You got Brandon Brooks, who's an all-pro with the Eagles. He hurt himself this year, but all-pro with the Eagles. Like, you have a Ben Jones who's doing well with the Titans. You have a solid squad. So to answer your question, yes, they were in better shape, in my opinion, in 2014 with the new head coach coming in than whoever's going to get this team this year. And I'll say that because, number one, look at the draft conversation. No, they don't got a first or a second this year, right? Mm-hmm. So you got 3-7. That's obvious right there. Better situation at quarterback, though. If you look at the quarterback in 2014, you had Tom Savage. You had Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, was the starter that year. And then you had Case Keenum. Then, of course, you got Deshaun. No doubt about that. It's just as a whole and Mallett. Oh, yeah. As a whole, I think 2014, you were better set up for success than right now.
So let's just run through who they had. And you mentioned some, but the context of it is important, too, because you had Watt on a rookie contract. You had Merciless on a rookie contract. Mm-hmm. You had Hopkins had just finished his rookie year, so obviously he's on a rookie contract. The situation that Bill O'Brien took over was really, really good, minus the one position. Would you say that he made the most out of it in 7 years?
Made the most? Was he successful with it? I would say yes. Okay. Did he make the most out of it? I would say no. I think there was still something there that, for whatever reason, he couldn't get over the hump. He couldn't get over the hump and end up all blowing up for him, right? But he definitely has success within his – was he here still that long, seven years? He has success within the 7 years.
Multiple division titles, six years and four games.
Technically. Multiple division titles, second round of the playoffs. So that, to me, that's success. Is that what the fans wanted to do? Is that what we wanted to do as a media, as fans of the team? We thought he could do more. We thought there was more. So, no, I don't think he had the ultimate success, but I do think he had some success. So he did make I wouldn't say he made the most, but he did have success with that roster.
So if you are – Cal McNair, and I don't know what they're going to do at GM or any of that, but if you are selling a coach on this situation, obviously it starts with Watson. What's your second selling point with this job? Like, what are you saying you should take this job because of Watson and blank?
Because of Watson, Deshaun, and number four. those are my three answers. I think Tunsil has to be in the category. I think you're solidified there. I think Titus Howard has this thing off on the side of the ball. I think Titus Howard, I think Tunsil, and I think Deshaun would be the selling points for the offense. You don't know what you're going to do with Will Fuller yet. He's having a career year, which is a positive thing, right? And hopefully they can sign him back. I really do want him in a Texas uniform. Defensive side, you know, you're struggling on defense right now. You know, you got a lot of money in your linebackers. You got some money at one position at corner, but the rest of the secondary is kind of up in the air. Justin Reed, who I love, is not having not having a down year, but not the year that I thought he was going to have. So the selling point will have to be surrounded around the offense and then the city and then who Kyle McNair and those guys think of the vision for the team, right? But it's going to be a hard sell. You don't have draft capital. Like, it's hard to rebuild a team, and I do think it's going through a rebuild process, whether it's short or long, that when you don't have the first-round pick, well, usually that's your next franchise, you know, key player.
It's at least a starter.
It's at least a starter, something we can look forward to, right? Where, and I can't say you can't find good guys in the rounds 3-7. Obviously, you found Justin Reed and others, right? You found Andre Howell when he was playing in the later rounds. So it's you can find those guys, but not having a first or second is hard to sell for a new coach coming in. You know what I mean? So it's definitely going to have to be on the offensive side of the ball to me and those guys. Man, it's going to be a tough sale. I think it's a lot tougher sale than what you had in 2014.
Adam Spillane, Cecil Shorts with you on Sports Radio 610, in for Clint Sterner, and we're on the show. You look at some of the other jobs that will be open, and the first one I want to look at would be the New York Jets. And that team may very well lose 16 games this season.
That's terrible,
that's a really bad situation.
Daggone it.
But if you are a prospective head coach and you are between the Texans and the Jets, and there are no expectations when you go to the Jets and you are basically going to be handed Trevor Lawrence, do you look at that and you say, you know what? This is not a bad situation. Listen, they were obviously really bad, but can't get any worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a young quarterback who is, I think most people would say, maybe the best quarterback talent to come out of the draft since maybe Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I think some people would say that.
Yeah.
Is that a situation they say, you know what, I'd rather have that job than the Texans job, because the Texans job, I have Watson, but after that, there are a lot of question marks. And while the Jets have more question marks, including that quarterback spot, you have a little bit more, you have a longer leash. And you have the quarterback on the rookie contract, which allows you to do a little bit more with the rest of your roster.
I think if you look at the last, just say, decade and the stability of what the Texans have compared to what the stability of what the Jets were, you know what I mean? It's just not, there's no comparison. So for me, I think I would take the Texans job. And then secondly, Deshaun's already proven. So you're going to, for me, I would go with a proven quarterback, a guy that I don't think the team is that far away. There's moves that needs to be made. But just last year, you were at 24-0 against the Super Bowl defending champions. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not that far removed. Well, the Jets are pretty far removed from, I don't know when their last successful season was. I'm thinking
it's been 10 years.
With Mark Sanchez and mm-hmm. those guys and Rex Ryan, right, when they had the good runs in the playoffs. But you're not that far removed. This is one bad, and the season's not even over. This is one bad start to the season compared to, you know, the Jets not having good seasons in year after year after year after year, quarterback after quarterback. And so for me, I think the Texans are easier. Easily the better franchise to go to than the Jets right now.
So you look at other jobs that could be open. Atlanta is already open. I would much rather have the Texans job than the Falcons job.
Talk to me. Why?
Because I have a younger quarterback
who
is probably better.
True.
And the Falcons roster just isn't very good. There's some talent at the wide receiver position, but the best guy is older and is probably not going to stick around mm-hmm. much longer. And defensively, that defense
is horrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. So you're basically, it's Watson or Matt Ryan. I would much rather have Watson.
I would agree with that. I think Julio's great. Like, he's, to me, a future Hall of Famer. We actually came out the same year. But the injury, how injury-prone he is, nothing is not, it's not even his fault. He's just so dang on big.
Mm-hmm.
He takes hits. And I don't think he's supposed to be able to move and stuff like that when you're going to be that nimble. So, just looking at the offensive side, I'll take what the Texans have long-term. And then, again, you mentioned Deshaun. Like, it's no question. Matt Ryan, who's older, he still can play, mm-hmm. but definitely older.
One more. The L.A. Chargers, where you are getting Justin Herbert 1 year in. So, well, he's got a lot of years to go on that rookie contract. That roster is pretty good, and they're only 3-7 because they can't win close games.
Ah, they blew it, man.
So, if you have the choice, would you and you go to L.A., which is a nice place to live,
yeah.
and nobody cares about the team, so there's no pressure. So would you rather have Justin Herbert in year one, still on that rookie contract with a pretty good roster, and no one cares if you win or lose? Or do you go to the Texans where they do care if you win or lose, and you have the great quarterback, and obviously Watson is more proven than Herbert is, but at the same time, you're already paying Watson, and so you don't have as much room to work with the roster. Which job are you taking? And that's that could be a perfect Eric Bieniemy landing spot. Both these two teams.
Oh,
if you're Eric Bieniemy.
Ooh, if you're Eric. Ooh, and look at the offense. What it's doing now? Because they've been playing without Austin Eckler the last few weeks. I tried to trade for him in fantasy, but anyways, they've been playing without Eckler. Herbert's been outstanding.
They have the first round pick.
They have the first round pick.
Which will probably be high.
You got two very good receivers. You got Hunter Henry. You got Bosa on one side, you got Ingram on the other, you got Derwin James on in the back end. Man, I think the roster is better for the Chargers. I think they have a lot of young pieces. So I probably would lean to the Chargers. But I think if somebody wants a challenge, I think if somebody wants a I think it depends on how much, if I'm Eric, how much do I love Deshaun? Do I love Deshaun? Do I see him that? Do I love him that much and see that much in him? Where hey, I'm gonna go there and we're gonna figure this team out. We're gonna figure out, because to me again, you're not far removed. Just last year, second round of the playoffs. Just last year, you were up 24-0 against the Super Bowl champs, right? So you're not that far removed. But there is some draft stuff you got to deal with. There is some cap room you got to deal with. But the same thing will happen with the, I'm about to call him San Diego, with LA. Eventually, you got to pay Derwin James. Eventually, you got to pay Melvin Ingram again. You got to pay. You just pay Keenan Allen. Mike Williams' contract's going to be coming up.
You just pay Bosa too.
You just pay Bosa. So, man, if I had to lean towards one, I'd probably lean towards the Chargers, if I'm being honest.
All right, now we have our Sports Radio 610 head coach listeners bracket. The championship is here. Eric Bieniemy is in the championship against Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator. So make sure to vote on that at sportsradio610.com. And this Thanksgiving, we are asking you to help as we team up with the Houston Texans Foundation for Texans Care for Texans, presented by Kroger. We have a life-changing goal of feeding 500,000 Houston families this Thanksgiving. It's all through the Houston Food Bank. Just $1 provides 3 meals. You can donate now at sportsradio610.com/texanscare. That's sportsradio610.com/texanscare. And thank you for making a difference in our community. When we come back, Deshaun Watson is having the best season of his career. I want to know from Cecil why he's having the best season of his career. We'll get into that next on Sports Radio 610.
Sitting right beside you, you know, when we popping champagne.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
As far as just being the quarterback and being efficient, I think this is the best I've felt as far as just, you know, getting the ball out, you know, staying ahead of the chains, being able to distribute the ball and just kind of getting around and just the feel. So honestly, these are the best numbers I've had over my career. Who knows what my rookie year would have been like if I wouldn't have got hurt. But yes, I feel, you know, this is the best football I've been playing for a while.
Adam Spillane, Cecil Shorts, back with you on Sports Radio 610, in for Clint and the show. That was Deshaun Watson 3 weeks ago. Deshaun Watson 3 weeks ago saying that he was playing the best football of his career. Since that point, he has continued to just play better and better. Cecil, why is he having the best season of his career?
Well, I think one thing that good players do is they progress year after year. The game slows down for them year after year, game after game. And this, I believe, is fourth year coming into the league, and he is truly coming into his own. I think he's going through his progressions. He's finding the open guy. I mean, last week he hit 9 different receivers. So it's not just, you know, one guy getting all the targets. He's finding, literally going through his progression, finding the open guy. I think this year, too, he has better protection from his blind side. So in previous years, he's been getting hit like crazy. I think 2017 or 18, he got hit sacked 62 times. Who knows how many times he got hit, but I think that's a little bit to do with it. But he's just growing as a quarterback. He is, to me, a top 5 guy in this league. He understands, like, if you listen to the cut coming in, he's staying ahead of the chains. He understands the situations. He understands the defense that's coming at him. He's getting the ball out a little quicker. He's being smarter with his throws. He's being smarter as a whole quarterback. So, for me, I think it's a matter of just maturity. And for me, it's all about reps. The more reps you get, the better you're naturally going to get at a certain position. But he is doing a really good job of seeing the field, seeing the defense, and putting the ball where it needs to be.
Last time we were together, it was about 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was in July. And I asked you if you thought that he was worthy of the big, massive second quarterback contract that he wound up getting. And I told you I wasn't 100% sold. And part of it for me was just there was a lack of consistency that he had the last couple of years, where they would throw up some really, really bad games. And if you're going to give a quarterback the massive contract, you can't have that. This season, that has not been an issue. And I'm going to go, quarterback rating is not the best measure of, mm-hmm. of a quarterback, but I do like it for this. Deshaun Watson made 15 starts in the regular season last year. He had a quarterback rating below 82 in 7 of them. He had a quarterback rating below 80 in 6 of them. I mean, he had games where the QB rating would be in the 60s. Mm-hmm. This season, 84.5 week 1 against Kansas City, 89.5 week 2 against Baltimore. ever since then, he's been over 90 in every game. Seven of those last eight games, he's been over 100. So the consistency has been there. And to me, that's what's been most impressive, is that he's doing it week after week after week after week. And when you're a quarterback making the type of money that he is making, which is a considerable contract against the salary cap, you have to do that.
What's changed? What's the main thing? And people are not going to like what I say it. But
going in the same direction that I think I'm going.
What's the main thing that changed? Who is not here anymore?
DeAndre Hopkins is not here.
DeAndre Hopkins is not here. And as a quarterback, when you have that safety net, it's you can lean on him probably more than you should, right? You can lean on – Hop was a guy, and we all see him in Arizona. He's a guy that's a 70-30 guy. It's not a 50-50 ball. It's 70-30. When in doubt, throw it to Hop. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to throw it to Hop here. Any pressure situation, I'm just going to throw it to Hop. Instead of going through his progression, going through the reads, seeing the field, just finding the open guy, he can get away with it because Hop was there. Now Hop's not there. So now he's forced to have, and even when Hop was here, right, he didn't have the greatest timing with the other receivers outside of Fuller. So he couldn't throw this third and fourth targets or third or fourth reads. He couldn't have no timing with him. There's no cohesion there. So now when Fuller's the number one, but there's more of a unit at receiver, right? More of a unit at the skill positions, because tight ends come into play now too, right? So he has to look at the whole defense, just find the open guy. He doesn't have to worry about, okay, I need to make sure I target this guy. I need to make sure I'm targeting Hopkins. I need to make sure he gets his touches. No, there's no pressure there. Find the open guy. Go through your progression. Go through the read. And trust these guys that they'll be in the right spot. And when you have veteran receivers and veteran players like Fells and Akins who are getting in the right spots, it makes it easy on him. So for me, and I hate to say it because I don't think he should have been gone. I don't think he should have traded him, right? But he's become better without Hopkins.
Like you said, the Hopkins trade was terrible. It was terrible at the time. It continues to be indefensible. But at the same time, if you are trying to develop a quarterback, it almost feels like having the number one receiver can almost be a detriment because, like you said, you use that guy as a crutch.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson has called himself really more of a point guard this season because, like you said, he's going through the progressions. And even though he hasn't had a lot of time with these guys, he hasn't had a lot of time with Brandon Cooks. He hasn't had a lot of time with Randall Cobb. Yet those guys are still able to be productive because he is making the reads. He is allowing those guys to get open, and he's not locking in on just the one guy.
And he's not forcing the football. You know what I mean? There's times where he, like you said, locking in on one guy. He will be forcing the football to Hopkins for whatever the reason. Maybe he feels pressure from, I got to make sure I get him his touches. Maybe he feels pressure from, I don't know where to go, so I'm just going to throw it to him.
When or just doubt, feels comfortable.
Throw it to him. He's comfortable with it, right? That's just what it is. And I get it. We all get it. I would feel comfortable throwing to him too. But he has progressed from last year to this year from not having him and being forced to go through your progression, being forced to build chemistry with other guys. To be able to hit nine different receivers, I think nine receivers had at least two catches. Like, that's a big deal. That is a huge deal to be able to do that. A lot of quarterbacks can't do that or are not doing that, right? Even if you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's not hitting that many different receivers on a consistent basis like that. Now, Aaron is great, and he can find different guys, but to be able to find Cooks, to find Fuller, to find Fells, to find Brown, to find these different guys, it's incredible, man. His game has really stepped up over this past season.
When they made the Hopkins trade, basically Bill O'Brien said we just couldn't keep him. We could not afford to have that salary in here. We needed to be able to move on. Do you think that when you have an elite quarterback talent like Watson, that having the star elite wide receiver, you don't need that because the quarterback is capable of making the other guys look not as good, but look very good, like you're seeing Watson being able to do with someone like Cooks and like Fuller?
You know, if you look at what Tom Brady did for year after year after year, he never had besides Randy Moss, he's never had like a Hall of Fame type receiver on his squad. He had really good receivers. He had guys that could go elsewhere and play, but they weren't like Hall of Fame type guys. So I do think you don't need a Hall of Fame type receiver. Do you need number one? Yes, you do need a clear cut number one guy, right? I think that is true. I think you need a solid two, a solid three. And to be honest, I think the way Fuller and Cooks are set up, it's like perfect almost. Because both of those guys can be number ones. They can be number twos. Their skill sets fit each other. And they're veteran guys that have played, especially Cooks. He's played with so many good quarterbacks. He understands the game, right? So when you can find guys like that and plug them in, that's a great situation. But DeAndre is something where do you need a DeAndre type? You want that. That's why you draft the guy in the first round. So when he becomes that person that you want, I don't think you just give him away. I don't think that's the type of player you just can let go unless something crazy is going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, right? So when Deshaun has that, that's where as a coach you challenge him, hey, yes, we have Hopkins, but make sure we're looking, going through our progression. That's where the coaching comes in to help him to progress, to help him be the best quarterback he can be. You shouldn't have to trade somebody for the coaching to get better, for you have to trade somebody for Deshaun to get better, if that makes sense. Keep Hopkins on the roster and push him to go through his progression. Don't just get comfortable with throwing one way. Go through your progression. Find other receivers. Go here. Go there. So I do think you need a number one. It doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer.
What does Deshaun Watson need to do to take the next step? And maybe there is no next step. Maybe is this, can he get better, I guess would be the best way to put it.
I mean, I'll be honest. I think he can get better in what areas. I can't think off the top of my head. I think he's to the point where, to me, he's a top five quarterback. Now it's all about winning, right? Now it's about how do you get over the hump as a team of winning, getting past the second round, going to the AFC Championship, and getting to the Super Bowl. So can he improve? Can he improve from what he's doing now? Absolutely. Just simply being consistent. Continue to be consistent in all the areas that you're doing, right? You have to do anything more great or whatever. You have to no more touch on the deep ball, or, you know, just continue to be smart with the football, find the open guy, and figure out ways to win games. So I think Deshaun's doing everything he can. I think it's more about the surrounding pieces on the team as far as the defense, the offensive line, the running back situation. I think it's more of that to get over the hump. But Deshaun is doing everything he can. There's no more Deshaun needs to do. If Deshaun doesn't improve in any other areas, the Texans are all right with that. Like, he's still your franchise guy and still a top five guy in the league.
The running game. The running game has not been good.
Terrible.
It has.
Is it last? Or is 31st? It's somewhere in there.
It's really bad. And it's almost to the point where you don't even try. How much would having an actual running game that is consistent and can get you yards when you need them, how much would that make Deshaun Watson better? To have that.
Well, it makes your offense better. So now you're not so one-dimensional. So now Deshaun can be great within, and he has something to fall back on. So when you are up in games, when you need to run the ball, guess what? You can run the ball and run the clock out. That makes me so mad seeing Carlos Hyde the other day. You had a chance to bring him back. You had a chance to really sign him, and he knows the system. He knows the offense. He could, you know, this came off a 1,000-yard year. You could have some type of consistency back there. But, you know, you decide to go a different direction. So it helps a ton. Anytime you can run the clock, anytime you can be an offense that's not one-dimensional, it helps any quarterback, any team to become better. And no matter what, you're able to – I mean, to me, it's still to win the football game, you got to run the ball and stop the run. That's what it comes down to, in my opinion. Now, what the Texans have been doing lately, they've been figuring out ways to hit some quick game here and there. Throw some screens here and there, find your tight ends, get a little more people involved to substitute for the pass or for the running game. Even Deshaun having a few design runs here and there, and then he picks up stuff just all scrambles, right? So he's doing they're doing the best they can, but they got to figure out a way. They got to solve. That's one of the biggest things this offseason. They got to solve this running back situation, whether it's offensive line, whether it's scheme, whether it's running back. You got to figure out how to improve that.
Real quick, because we only have about a minute. Is it an offensive line thing? Because they've invested so much in the offensive line. Obviously, Tunsil, they paid him and they traded two first round picks for him. You have Howard. They've invested a lot just in the inside part of the offensive line too. Is that the biggest thing for them right now?
You know what? I think you got to take a good look at Matt Devlin. Just to be honest, I think Titus is going to be all right. I like Titus. I like Tunsil. But the three, the guard center. You know, I think Nick hasn't played up to expectation. I think he struggled at times. So I do think it's a little bit of coaching and a little bit of the players, and they need to figure that out this offseason. Figure it out as soon as possible, to be honest, because there's no excuses to not be able to run the football. When you have the same guys the last two or three years, there's no excuse you shouldn't be gelling and be able to be productive in the run game.
He's Cecil Shorts. I'm Adam Spillane. We are here until 6 o'clock. We're in for Clint and the show. We have 1 hour in the books. When we return, we'll look at the news in the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.